You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com website. That is a convenient place for all of the Locked On podcasts, whether you're looking for MLB, NFL, NBA, or college content. Make sure to check out the wonderful stuff that our talented hosts are putting out every single day from around the sports world. Today, we're going to be previewing on the Locked On Wolves podcast the Hornets game. We're going to get you prepared for the Hornets, talk about Kemba Walker, talk about the Hornets' success this year, and who better to prepare us for that matchup than the host of the Locked On Hornets podcast, Walker Mel. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. I'm excited for this game. I love watching Kemba Walker. I've always been a Kemba Walker fan, and this year he has just gone crazy. So we're just going to dedicate the rest of this time to you just extolling his praises.
Yeah, we've dedicated our show to Kemba Walker. It's been the Locked On Kemba show, basically, a part of the other teams that are in the NBA. We've just been Locked On Kemba. It's been amazing. And this has been our guy. You know, when you look at a Hornets franchise that maybe doesn't have the history of other franchises out there, Kemba Walker has been widely accepted as the best Charlotte Hornet of all time, you know, just as far as the longevity, as far as the kind of all-star appearances he's been able to put together. You know, the other guys have been Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, you know, and then when you think of maybe some nostalgia, maybe Muggsy Bogues is thrown in there. But certainly, you know, when you try to check off all the boxes of how well they've performed, what they resonate on a national scale, and just how long they've been here with the Hornets, Kemba Walker's it. And I think last season we had this discussion of whether he could reach another level or whether he tapped out. Did he hit his ceiling the last couple of seasons being an all-star and a legitimate one, but not anybody that's going to start for the Eastern all-star team? But now it's a guy that is playing at an all-NBA level, to where even you could flirt with a second all-NBA team and probably more appropriate on the third all-NBA team. But he's performing at an extremely high level, and I think everybody was put on notice when he scored that 60 points against Philadelphia, and he did that when all of those points were needed. So it was still a loss, and now everybody's looking that Kemba needs help, and it wasn't one of these overtime things where he was going for a certain feat. I mean, he legitimately got 60 points within the confines and what the game called for. He follows that up with a 43-point performance against the Boston Celtics, and they actually got that win here at the Spectrum Center. They got that at home. And then after that, it's been a little bit of a struggle. He hasn't been nearly as hot ever since he did score the 60 and the 43, but still, the guy has been performing at an all-NBA level. So Kemba Walker has been fantastic. He has been the heartbeat. He's been the head of the snake of the Charlotte Hornets team, no doubt about it. And now you've got a little bit of a resurgence from Jeremy Lamb, who really stepped it up last season. Jeremy's starting to score a little bit more. So you're starting to get some help surrounding Kemba Walker. Now, they're 11-12. They can't seem to shake that 500 moniker. A funny stat for the Hornets has been they've been 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, all the way up to 11-11. So if you go by that, then the Hornets are going to get the win tonight to make it up to 12-12. But they've gotten a little bit of help offensively, but there's no doubt about it, Colton. I mean, Kemba has been simply amazing. And again, you've mentioned it yourself. I mean, you're starting to get some national recognition surrounding Kemba Walker because of the play that he's demonstrated.
I mean, amongst guards, fourth in scoring, he's taking 20 field goals per game. He's taking 20 field goal attempts per game. That's one of the higher marks up there with guys like Damian Lillard and James Harden in the NBA. And like you're saying, they need every bit of this. This is not a scenario where he's kind of like Russell Westbrook when he won the MVP, padding his stats. This is legitimately what the Hornets need from him to be successful in games. And he is giving them all he's got. I just watching him, and this is a little off tangent from the game tonight, but Kemba Walker is kind of one of those few guards like a Kyrie Irving, like a Derrick Rose even, where most of his work is taking place right around or underneath the rim where he's really driving in and creating for himself or for his teammates underneath the rim, and that's how he's pulling defenses. It's not like a Steph Curry or Damian Lillard where they're pulling the defenses because of their range from three. And it's almost kind of an old school art now to be able to drive and really drive and kick efficiently. And he's one of those fun guards that's going to pull everybody into the paint and then leave people outside open. Well, first of all, what's it like to watch him do that? And then because of that, why isn't guys like Malik Monk playing better around him?
Well, and you mentioned Kemba driving to the basket. First of all, it's amazing because he's 6'1", right? I mean, yeah. Nobody that small should be scoring at that kind of rate at the basket. And he's had problems shooting at the rim before. It's actually something he really worked on this offseason. When James Borrego got this job as the Charlotte Hornets head coach, that was something each of these guys assessed. They need to have Kemba finish at a higher rate at the rim. And he demonstrated that a couple of times this season. Now, it's kind of gone away a little bit, but he still hit a couple of impressive shots. I know there was one shot making the rounds on Twitter against Anthony Davis where he kind of flicks it behind his head with one hand and it wasn't even looking at the basket and it goes in. And he's done such a good job of getting into the bodies of people. I know Zach Lowe did an excellent job of mentioning that in his piece that he wrote about Kemba Walker when he was here in Charlotte earlier this year. So Kemba's done a fantastic job. You hit the nail on the head with that, driving to the paint and finishing at the basket. But shooting, Colton, when you look at what Kemba has done over the course of his career, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you can go to the Zach Lowe piece on this, and he's absolutely right. You look at the first 3-4 years of Kemba Walker's career, he was a very inefficient player to the point where when Rich Cho at the time extended him $12.5 million per year, people thought it was a little bit of a head-scratcher, that Kemba was always going to be an inefficient basketball player, and he was going to be a middle-of-the-road point guard where there would be some nights he was good, but overall just kind of fine, kind of average. And then he had the All-Star season where he's been shooting, he shot 37% from three, and he hasn't shot below 38% from three since that. So it's been 3 years in a row. Now, he's at 36 right now, but I would imagine at the end of the season, if things continue like they have for the past few seasons, he'll be right up there with 38, 39, 40% from three-point range. But it's really been the shooting, how he and a couple of assistant coaches for the Charlotte Hornets really worked on his shot after the first 3 years of his career. And he's put in a ton of work, and it's been with him and Steve Clifford. It's been with him and Borrego. It's been with him and assistants like Bruce Kreitzer, the shooting coach for the Hornets all those years. Now Jay Hernandez, who worked with Kemba in college and is now on the staff largely because of Kemba and his input to James Borrego. So watching him develop, it's been phenomenal to see what he's done this season as playing the best basketball of his career, and certainly of any Charlotte Hornet ever to put on that uniform. But it's been fun to see just how much he's developed as a player, to be that small, to be that effective, to play at an all-NBA level. And all of us Charlotte Hornets fans have always been extremely, extremely thankful for what he's done. You know, we've gone through the bad Bobcat years, you know, and it's not like we've had any great Hornets years since the Bobcats came into existence. We've had a couple of playoff appearances and then first round exits, but we've always been very thankful for Kemba, and now you're just hoping that there can be enough help around him to where they re-sign him. You're hoping finding some help around him, and hopefully you can take that next jump to a second round playoff appearance or just something where there is a step up, because Kemba's just too good to where you hope he doesn't waste it here in a Charlotte Hornets team that just hasn't been able to break that hump since the Bobcats came back in 04.
And then you talk about people saying he needs help around him. You think, I mean, I'm talking about the young guys here specifically, but you can expound on the rest of the team if you should desire. But when you're looking at guys like Malik Monk, Miles Bridges, it seems like these guys almost aren't getting enough time on the court. I know that a lot of people, myself included, really thought that Malik Monk would kind of break out this year. And Miles Bridges really looks awesome when he does play, and it just doesn't seem like they're getting enough minutes. Is it better that they're not getting enough minutes, or do you think that these young guys need more time around Kemba to kind of try and elevate the play of this team?
James Borrego got this job on a few different factors. I think the biggest factor that he was able to get this job was the way that he attached himself at the hip to player development. And he referenced Malik Monk specifically because people were growing tired that Steve Clifford wasn't playing Malik Monk, especially when it looked like the Hornets were out of the playoff race. Steve kind of held on a little bit more, because at that point, Steve Clifford was coaching for his job, and he wanted to win right now, and Malik is a pretty awful defender at this point. And so Malik, you know, he grew a lot during the offseason as far as his ability to defend on that end of the floor. He got better, and there was a time where he was playing consistent in October. But now you look at his numbers, just 36% for the year from the field, 32% beyond the arc on the year. You look at what Borrego did with Malik Monk's minutes at the beginning of the season. The first 12 games of the season, Malik was averaging 24 minutes a game. Now you look at the last 11 games of the season, 13 and a half minutes Malik is logging per night. And so he tried. You know, I mean, Borrego gave Malik Monk some minutes, and he wanted Malik to break out. And there were some times where he really looked impressive. But when you're putting up those kind of numbers on the offensive end where you can't even break the 40% mark from the field and you can't break the 33% mark from three-point land, and you're such a liability on defense, you know, Borrego's here to win now just as much as develop these players. And especially when Kemba's playing the way he is, there's no tanking involved, especially with the veterans that they have on this team. There's no tanking thinking specifically about the future. There is a now for the Charlotte Hornets. And if Malik Monk can't perform really on either end of the court, there's some good passing here and there from Malik. I think he's a very underrated passer. He's an underrated playmaker. But when you're putting up those kind of shooting numbers and when you're a liability on defense, then I don't know if you can blame Borrego for sitting him. And you mentioned Miles Bridges. He's been very good. And Miles, if you look outside of the starters, Miles is actually accumulating the most minutes per night of anybody who's not a starter. He's getting about 20 minutes per game. And so Miles has been very effective. And Marvin Williams is absent right now. He injured his shoulder. So you can expect an uptick in Miles Bridges' minutes. He might even start against the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. I don't know if we've had an official word on that yet. But Miles Bridges will get an uptick in minutes, and he's been very good, very effective when he's been out there as a first-year player, had five threes in the last two games. So you have to be excited about what you're getting from Miles, and Borrego is playing him. He's been a mad scientist with the lineups that he's put out there, but you look at the last three games, Malik Monk has logged 8 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's because he's been ineffective on both ends of the floor. So I'm a huge Malik Monk fan. I want so bad for him to be a good basketball player. I'm pulling for him as much as anybody. I mean, he was so fun to watch that 1 year at Kentucky. But it's hard to knock Borrego for not playing him when he's just been ineffective on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, when those guys are kind of not performing. I mean, Malik Monk came out of college as one of those guys where you kind of expected him to be a perimeter defender as one of the staples of what he was going to bring. And so when he can't do that, hard to justify. I still have hope for him. I still have hope for him as somebody who wrote a lot of articles when he was in the draft process about how he should go in the top 10. I'm hoping that he just to make myself look better from a selfish perspective, just to be right. I hope that he gets better.
When he was drafted, I tweeted out an Alfonso Ribeiro video of him doing his own Carlton dance. I mean, I was as excited as anybody to see Malik Monk drafted by the Hornets because he fell. I mean, it looked like he was going to go to the New York Knicks, and he fell to 11, and I was as excited as anybody. I mean, the offensive potential is there, and you have moments. I mean, you get the 18-point quarter last season against the Milwaukee Bucks. You get an impressive performance against the Bucks this season. You get him hitting some clutch shots against the Miami Heat this season. I mean, you have those moments. It's just the consistency that's not there, and you hope that comes with time as he continues to put a few more games under his belt.
Talking about the rest of the team, right now the Hornets are 7th in points per game at 114.4. They are 12th in field goal percentage at 40.6. Probably the most surprising number when I was just going through their stats here is their three-point attempts per game, 33.8. They're going to really attack from outside, and I think that's going to is going to really hurt the Timberwolves, especially the attack from outside to really open up stuff for Kemba. When you're looking at this team, outside of Kemba Walker, what's been the biggest difference maker on offense?
On offense, recently it's been Jeremy Lamb. And Jeremy Lamb, you can look at the two different months that we've had, kind of a half of a month of October and November. Lamb really got off to a bad start, and he was shooting under 40% from the field, wasn't taking that many threes. And Jeremy Lamb would do this thing, and again, I'll reference Zach Lowe on this because he wrote about this as well a couple of times. He's mentioned the Charlotte Hornets. But Jeremy Lamb was doing this thing where he would take a step inside the three-point line when a defender would just rush by his space. And so he wasn't taking a whole lot of three-pointers. And now you're starting to see him be a little bit more efficient from that area of the court, shooting, I think, about 36%. You take that from Jeremy Lamb. But also, it's a guy that's been creating his own shot. He's given you a couple of 20-point nights here recently. So offensively, as far as one individual player, Jeremy Lamb has really stepped it up. But you mentioned the three-point attempts. They're seventh in the NBA right now and how many attempts they take per game. They're at 33 attempts, and that is up, I think, about seven from what they were last year under Steve Clifford. So Borrego mentioned that they're going to be shooting a lot more that at the beginning of the season, and that's held true. So they're shooting 35, 36% from three, as you mentioned. So they're hitting for a pretty good clip. You know, they're hitting at a pretty good rate. And so with Kemba, you know, a pretty good three-point shooter, Miles is starting to hit a little bit more the last couple of games. Jeremy Lamb, Marvin Williams got off to an atrocious October. And in November, he actually got his percentage up from in the 20s to now it's above 40. And so as far as that month go, I still think shooting about 34 as the entire season goes. But November was very kind to him shooting the basketball. And we all had to get through it. It was an ugly October that we had to get through for Marvin. But he's finally starting to hit those. And so now that's really helped them out as well. So you mentioned the three-point shooting. I think that would be a huge uptick in what they've been able to do and why the offense has been more efficient. And Jeremy Lamb, if you want to look at one individual player who's made a big difference outside of Kemba, I mean, him coming on strong here lately has really helped this team score some points.
Well, and you're talking to somebody who covers the Timberwolves. So with Andrew Wiggins on our roster, we're used to a player who kind of has up and down streaks, believe you me.
Yeah, I feel for you on Andrew Wiggins, man.
We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to some matchups in this specific game, Hornets versus Timberwolves. First, some sponsors. Talking with the host, Walker Mel, of the Locked on Hornets podcast. We're previewing the Hornets-Timberwolves matchup. That's going down tonight in the Target Center. We've been talking about Kemba Walker, the uptick in offense for the Charlotte Hornets, which young guys you should be looking out for. Now we're going to get into specific matchups. Coming into this game, the Hornets have dropped two games to the Pelicans and the Jazz at home. Now they're on the road to the Timberwolves. First of all, what can the Timberwolves expect just from a road Hornets team? How have they performed typically on the road? Is this a team? Last year, I know this was a team that was far better at home, and when the Timberwolves were able to catch them on the road, it seemed to be a little more in the Timberwolves' corner just by nature of being at home. Can we expect a little more fireworks from the Timberwolves or from the Hornets on the road this year?
Yeah, I mean, the Hornets have not performed all that well on the road, and so they've certainly been the beneficiary of playing here at home. 3-7 is their road record right now, with the 11-12 overall record, so they haven't won too many away from the Spectrum Center, so that certainly would put the Timberwolves at a favorite just for the normal home court advantage that you get. The Hornets have performed not all that well on the road, so we'll see if they're able to shake any of that tonight. But again, that would be one reason enough to favor the Timberwolves. And another reason would be that Marvin Williams is out. Again, I mentioned that. It's going to be his first game. He's going to be out for about a week or so, maybe even two. So it looks like he might miss about four games for sure before you really have a legitimate shot of him coming back. But Marvin Williams means so much to them organizationally, considering their defense. He's a guy that's constantly chattering on that end of the floor, making sure guys are in the right spot. Just such a smart basketball player, and he is able to hit a couple of shots from beyond the arc down for you as long as he's open. So Marvin being out, Cody is coming back, I believe, so it looks like he will be back to help out an athletic center, so maybe helping out a little bit against Cat as much as you possibly can. But Marvin being out certainly is going to be a matchup that favors the Timberwolves along with playing at the Target Center.
One of the things looking at where the Timberwolves can try and get an edge here, as far as three-point shooting, the Hornets are allowing opponents to sink about 11.7, not about middle of the road, not the worst mark, but definitely there's a chance there for you to kind of trade blows with the Hornets, and you're talking about that road record, especially when the Timberwolves are at home. With that kind of in mind, is Robert Covington maybe the worst possible matchup here for the Hornets tonight?
Well, he's been so good for when he's been over there with men. I mean, I'm sure you guys have talked about it a million times. I mean, Robert Covington shooting 40% from 3-point land this season. He would be a pretty tough matchup for them. They have not gotten off to a good start defending the three. And I'll tell you what about the Hornets game to watch out for is for some reason in the first quarter, at the start of games, they've allowed teams to get tons of open shots from beyond the arc. I mean, you see it time and time again where the Hornets just don't close out well. They allow these guys to get a lot of different shots from behind the three-point line. And for some reason, they start to tighten it up a little bit better and as the game goes on. But they've gotten off to some bad starts defending the three-point shot. And so maybe that's something where the Minnesota Timberwolves, they can exploit the Hornets in that regard, build a big enough lead, and hopefully for their sake, you know, not look back from it. But that would be something I think the Timberwolves should really look to take advantage of, because at the start of games, opponents have really shot the ball pretty well against the Charlotte Hornets. So when you have Karl Anthony Towns shooting 40%, when you have Covington shooting 40% for you, and then you have some other guys coming in off the bench that are effective. I mean, even Derrick Rose has been shooting pretty well from beyond the arc this season at 3.5 per game. So when you look at all those guys shooting pretty well, yeah, it's going to be something that the Hornets have to address, or it's not going to fare well for them.
Yeah, you talked about how your show is now the Locked On Kemba show. We're the Locked On Derrick Rose and Roko show over here. It turns out when you have a point guard or a couple point guards that can actually hit threes, you become a better three-point shooter yourself when the defense isn't glomming onto you right away at the three-point line. Crazy, right? It's crazy. I can't believe nobody saw this coming. So if you're looking at this game from your perspective, give us the number one Timberwolf that you're worried about, and then the number one Charlotte Hornet that you have high expectations for in this game.
Well, if you're going to go away from Karl Anthony Towns, who's very good, obviously, then
he's pretty good basketball.
I mean, if you're going to go away from the stars like Kemba and Karl Anthony Towns, I think you do have to go Roko. I mean, Robert Covington is probably that guy, and defensively too. I mean, he's been fantastic defensively. So just who is he going to get matched up against? Does he completely take his guy out of the entire game? I think Robert Covington is the guy you look to. I wonder if maybe you can limit somehow Derrick Rose if he's unable to get a lot of points on you, if there's any kind of way that you can slow him down, which is crazy. It seems like we're 8 years ago and we're talking about Derrick Rose. But if there's any way that he is a guy that doesn't hurt you, then I think that can benefit the Hornets, certainly. And if you're looking at the Hornets, it's hard not to go with Jeremy Lamb. Like I said, he's just been playing so well. And Marvin might have been a guy I would have said to worry about just because he has been a little hot here recently. He's gotten over 15 points in 3 of the last 4 games. And so maybe that would have been somebody that was hot enough to, you know, maybe a player you're not expecting to kill you. Maybe that would be a guy, but he's out now. And so maybe Miles Bridges is somebody that can come in and give you some points for the Hornets. But if you're looking outside of Kemba, Jeremy Lamb would be the guy that I think it would do the most damage offensively against the Timberwolves team.
Yeah, and you're playing, I mean, just matchup-wise, Jeremy Lamb against the guy, Andrew Wiggins, where he's been playing better defensively this year, especially earlier this season. He's been playing better, but he's kind of still trying to pull himself out of like a 4-game slump where they were winning games, but he wasn't doing really much offensively or defensively. And so he played pretty well. There was a stretch in that third quarter, especially against the Rockets. He had 3 blocks in that third quarter. He was playing better defensively, but it wasn't for the entirety of the game. So I'm not, and this is exactly what you want to say about your max contract player, I'm not exactly sure what you're going to get from Wiggins in this game. I hope that he is really locked in, and I think that being around guys like Roko, Towns, and having Jimmy Butler out there has helped him mentally, but he's one of those guys where he just looks uncomfortable so many games out of the year. I'm not exactly sure what kind of defense you can expect from him on a guy like Jeremy Lamb, who's playing really hot.
Yeah, and again, if you have just an inefficient Andrew Wiggins night, which certainly they come plentiful, you know, that would certainly help the Hornets, especially if you have to have Jeremy Lamb guarding Andrew Wiggins. Defense certainly not Jeremy Lamb's strong suit. He's gotten a lot better as he's been here with the Charlotte Hornets, but I mean, that's certainly something that would benefit Jeremy if Wiggins has another inefficient night. And one guy that I think that we haven't talked about as far as the Hornets and really hurting the Timberwolves, it's somebody that is not going to kill you offensively, but Michael Kidd-Gilchrist has really resurrected his career under James Borrego. And so he hasn't been starting. He might tonight because of Marvin's absence, but MKG has come in and locked down guys way better than even the already good defensive reputation that he had even the last couple of seasons. And offensively, he's been getting it going a little bit more. He's actually taken a few three-point shots this season. He actually has three made, which is amazing if you've watched KG in his career. Yeah, he's actually hit three, one of the worst shooters in the league. He's actually hit three three-pointers. I mean, there has been something that Borrego has been able to tap into, and they missed him. When MKG missed a couple of games in a row, they really missed him on the defensive end. I mean, he was phenomenal against Milwaukee in that win they had at the Spectrum Center, where he locked down guys. And Borrego has been able to tap into it by playing him at the four instead of the three like Steve Clifford did. And Borrego's also managing his minutes very well. So when MKG has been mainly a starter, he's been playing a lot of minutes, Borrego has basically said, okay, we're going to give you 20 minutes. Go out there, give 110%, just be a wild man, be a Tasmanian devil, and we'll get you the breather. And I'll directly reference the Bucks game again, because Borrego mentioned how he wanted to leave MKG out there a little bit more because he was doing so well, but MKG needed a breather. He needed to get some kind of rest, and so he sat him at an earlier point in the fourth quarter so he could play him again later on to close out that game. But that's a guy that if there's somebody going off against the Charlotte Hornets, if there's somebody within that size range, then maybe MKG can get put on him. You know, they've ran some real small ball. I mean, we've seen MKG at the five sometimes, so Borrego's not afraid to go really small. And so if you see that with MKG tonight, where maybe they need a little bit more offensive explosion, but MKG needs to be a guy that can defend and switch everywhere else, then MKG is somebody that has really helped this Hornets team out this season.
Before we head out here, one last question for you, Walker. What does a box score have to say? What stat, X stat, has to look this way for the Hornets to get a win?
I think Kemba needs to break out of this little mini slump that he's been in. And the Hornets, again, they're so attached to 500, they can't break away from it. If they want to get to 500 once again, I think what you've seen from Kemba after that crazy explosion that he went off for 60 and 43 is it's been a guy that hasn't shot the ball as well. He's been around 20. He's gotten a few outputs in the teens, actually, that have been a little bit more frequent here. And so I think Kemba needs to have a big game where he shoots well from behind the three-point line. If Kemba can get you anywhere from 25 to 30, and if you have another secondary score, doesn't have to be Jeremy Lamb, it's just been him for the most part. Mm-hmm. But if you get an unexpected performance from maybe a Miles can give you a 15 or more, maybe a Cody Zeller who had 19 against the Hawks the other night and was dunking everything, if Cody can do some dirty work down low and maybe help out and contain Karl Anthony Towns, I think if you're looking at the box score, maybe you go for Kemba for 25 to 30, and Jeremy gets his normal 15. He's been pretty consistent to where you can kind of count on that every night. Who's the other player? Who's the other guy? Does Nick Batum show up? He's not been good. Is he a guy that can finally show up for you and get you at least 15 points or more? Who is the other guy in that box score for the Hornets that can get you 15 or more and provide another offensive punch? Because it's been infrequent that another guy has stepped up. You can count on Lamb, you can count on Kemba Walker, but who's the other guy that can give you some points and get you buckets when you need it?
And I think for the Timberwolves, you need them to sink around that 12-3 mark. I think you need them to take advantage of the weaker defense from the Charlotte Hornets on outside and hit about their average that they're giving up as far as three-pointers made. And you need to sink 12 tonight to outpace them.
No, you know, it often comes down to the three-point race. I mean, there's so many times you can go to Greg Popovich, who was get off my lawning a couple of days, a couple of weeks ago, about how the three-point game has ruined the game of basketball. It just, you know, here's another example. With the defense that the Timberwolves are able to exude every night, with the way that the Hornets have shot the three-point ball, it just might be that matchup that decides who wins this one or not.
Walker, what can we look out for from you? Do you have any podcasts going up today? Where do you want people directed for Hornets content?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you can find us on Twitter and most social media sites at Locked On Hornets. We do have a pod dropping later on today. So we usually record about 12, usually releasing it sometime in the afternoon, of course, Monday through Friday. And again, you can follow myself on Twitter at Walker Mail, a couple of my co-hosts, Nada at Nada the Scribe, and Doug at Doug Branson LOH. And again, if you just want to follow our show for any kind of Hornets content that you're looking for, any kind of updates that you're looking for, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Hornets or any other social media sites that you might be on. So that's where you can find us, and we'll be recording a preview for the Minnesota Timberwolves ourselves later on today if you want to check us out.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Walker, for joining the show. And thank you to the listeners for tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.